It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. I am the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Alabama. We have two locations in Mobile County, 558 St. Francis Street in downtown on the corner of St. Francis and Warren, just a block up from Wenzel's in downtown. Also between Grelot and Cottage Hill on Schillinger at 2090 Schillinger Road South in Suite K, right there next to Pete's Party Castle. We're located also at 25935 Friendship Road, Unit C in Daphne, where my beautiful co-host Whitney is man in the counter, and Bubba, her sidekick, who makes sweet, sweet coffee, freshly roasted. I smelled some today. It was amazing. And, of course, we are in Hoover now, 3435 South Shades Crest Road in Hoover in Suite 113. And also, soon, I know I keep saying soon, but y'all, after I won today in court a little bit and finally got my funds released, Montgomery will be right behind at 8009 Vaughn Road in Montgomery. I'm currently hiring for those two locations. So if you know anybody in Hoover or Montgomery who wants to be a store manager or a sales associate with Cannabama, I have at least two, possibly three positions in each location. And you can find that job listing under Cannabama at Indeed, Indeed.com. You can find information on all of our locations and what we sell in the store, who we are, and our story on cannabama.com. You can also contact us from there. And if you have any questions, feel free. I guess I'm going to give out my personal email, jennifer@cannabama.com. That's cannabama.com. And we would be happy to answer any questions, help you out, give you a consultation, and tell you about our daily specials and any sales we've got going on. This week, on Thursday and Friday, we are going to have a 4th of July preparation sale. So our flower, our sunscreen, our chapstick, our body lotion for after the sun, all those types of items will be 15% off on Thursday and Friday, on top of our daily specials. We just got a shipment of Moon Rocks. I know some of y'all are really, really coming unglued over those Moon Rocks, and it took almost 4 weeks to get them, but we have them. So those are being dispersed throughout all the stores as we speak. I got back in town last night. I've been in Hoover for another week and a half, completely in limbo, you know, because of my banking issues and not being able to access the funds. I think the last time I was here, because we did a rerun last week, I was out of town and things happened and I couldn't get to the phone in order to do the show. So 2 weeks ago, the last time I spoke about it, I don't think I even realized yet that the next day I would be told that a check was cut and in the mail for every penny I had. And today, after going to court with the bank, I received my funds finally. So I have been going on no money for 2 weeks, and it's been very frustrating. My lawyer suggested I not go into too many details, and I said, define details, because I'm ready to talk about it, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that. Just suffice it to say, the money is back with me where it belongs after I finally got an SBA loan to sort of bail us out of the COVID, just the nightmare of it. And I can finally pay for ads and get the signs hung and finish hiring without wanting to throw up because I don't know how I'm going to pay them and catch up all my bills. I couldn't even pay my sales taxes last week and had to take a penalty because I had nothing. So it's been a long 2 weeks. I drove in last night at 10:30. I was told at first, my lawyer didn't think I needed to be there, but after some other drama, he suggested I be in court. So I was here, and I've been to the bank, and I've been to the Daphne store and the downtown store, and I've paid some bills. I think I maxed out my daily spending limit on paying bills, but that was the best bill paying I've done in a long time. And we are hopefully back at, you know, fight and wait and ready to get Hoover finally sewn up and move on to Montgomery. It has been a huge, huge headache. And I told someone today, if I did not love what I do as much as I do, I don't know how much more of this I could take. But we appreciate everybody's prayers and support. I try to keep people kind of aware, and we've gotten a lot of good support, and I really appreciate that. And now if you could come and shop and send all your friends to shop so we can keep it going, that'd be great. but we do have some new exciting products coming in. I got some interesting samples today that I might hang on to for ladies' night. Also, speaking of ladies' night, unless they're going to re-close down things, we are planning to kick off our classes again, starting with our much overdue quarterly ladies' night. And this time I think we're going to do CBD facials. And, of course, we always do edibles and coffee and things like that. So we've got some neat samples coming in from some different manufacturers that are creating products just for ladies. And we'll be doing some giveaways. And, of course, the classes are free. You do not have to shop. But if you do choose to buy something, we do give you a discount for your participation, because we know the more proper education that goes out and good experiences that are had, the better off we're all going to be. So be looking for that on the Facebook page. So, since I can't give any more details that I desperately want to, I'm going to go ahead and talk about something much more serious and important, which is today's guest. We have with us today Tamara Netzel, and Tamara and I were connected through a friend at Alabama Normal who suggested that I should speak to her, hear about her organization, and have her on the show. And boy, did I not know what I was getting into. I was blown away. Tamara, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show, Tamara. Welcome to Sweet Home Canabama. We don't bite, we promise.
Well, thank you for having me, Jennifer. Thank you.
Well, I talk about you all the time, and I know we haven't met in person, and I know you're immune compromised, so that makes that hard, but I sure do hope I get to hug your neck sometime, because I really do. Every time I think about you and every time I talk about you, I get really excited, and everybody that I talk to gets really excited. So I think that your future plans that we've discussed are going to be a walk in the park, and I really appreciate you being on the show. Tell us who you are. How old are you? Where do you live? And why are we talking to you?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm the founder and curator of a project called Cruel Consequences,
right.
Portraits of Misguided Law. And I know that's a very long name, but you can find us at cruelconsequences.org.
Yes.
And but I will say, Jennifer, I think you know, you can attest to this. It's, if the listeners are, I know this is a radio show, but you know, if listeners are near any technology that they can punch in that, you know, website, this
right.
is a project you need to see while I'm talking about it, because I could talk here.
Absolutely.
Talk about it, you know, right? It's visual, right?
It's, and that's the beauty of it. The visual element that you've been able to add to the story element is what is so exciting to me. And I know that we are going to talk about that a lot in the next couple of segments. But just for the next minute or so, tell us where you live and a little bit about yourself personally.
So I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, a little town called Butler,
okay.
North of Pittsburgh. So that area,
okay.
In Pennsylvania. And, for the first 21 years of my life, you know, that was my life, and, you know, Western Pennsylvania.
Right.
We'll talk about that later, you know, like just the culture and whatnot. But I
right.
married my husband at age 21, and I'm 50 now. So, but he was in the Army and retired a few years ago. So I've moved many different places and have landed at this time. Right now I'm in Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay. And, well, in just a second, when we come back from the break, we want to hear more about you guys and how you got into starting this foundation. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, and we are talking tonight to Tamara Netzel, who is the founder and curator of a beautiful organization called Cruel Consequences. And Tamara, are you there with us?
I sure am.
Okay, so before the break, you said you were from Western Pennsylvania. So I'm curious, how did that influence what you're doing now?
Well, it's just being from that area, and you know, it, everybody is a product of their environment, right?
Of course.
Know? And Western Pennsylvania isn't known really for the most diverse, you know, part of the country. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, and I would, admittedly, you know, I lived a very sheltered life. In a way, I was one of six kids, you know, but we lived in a rural area. However, you know, I, just to give you an idea, as far as the diversity, you know, there was probably one, I'd only remember one, one classmate of mine that was not white.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That was not my experience. But I'm from Louisiana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's very diverse.
So, but that did have a, you know, that we are a product of our environment.
Of course.
You know, I was a product of that environment, you know, and what you don't know, you know, and, but Cruel Consequences is something that has kind of come out of my own experiences.
Right.
I created this project, and for those of you that don't know what Cruel Consequences is, we are a portrait project, pictures of people who have been criminalized for marijuana.
Right.
Yeah. So I started, so they're portraits, it came from an idea that I thought, okay, you know, I started out as a medical cannabis patient, and I have multiple sclerosis. So,
right.
You know, my story involves, you know, seeking, you know, relief from the pain and the symptoms from multiple sclerosis. And, you know, I got to that point, but, you know, and I started feeling like, well, okay, there's more to it than this, right?
Right.
You know, and as I was in the space, I started to hear like, you know, oh, well, people go to, you know, people go to jail and prison for this, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, but my upbringing, my environment, I could feel that like pool of, okay, I'm a medical cannabis patient, but oh my gosh, you know, people are still getting criminalized for this. Like, how do
right.
I feel about that? So, you know, I had to wrestle with that and like, what was I going to do about that? And that's
right.
the kind of person I am. So when I find there's something wrong, I have to do something.
Yes. I understand that deep need for justice, no matter what the situation is, whether it's your own situation or someone around you, and that my spiritual gifts are mercy, hospitality, giving, teaching. So I totally understand that. And that's part of why I do what I do, because I know that people are suffering in one form or another, including being imprisoned. And there's something that I can do sometimes. And if there's a single thing I can do, I have to do it. I'm compelled. And I understand that being a strength and sometimes a weakness, because sometimes I am so busy, you know, trying to help others that I don't help myself and it burns you out. But I understand that need for justice, and it became a personal issue for me when it happened to someone that I love. that it was completely unjustified, and I had to watch them be pulled away in chains, and it devastated me. I knew it happened, and I didn't know anyone personally that I loved as a member of my family, like that kind of close, that it happened to, and I just can't stop thinking about it now. And I am like you, I'm driven to do something. So that's why I was so excited when I got on the phone with you at first. I didn't have any idea what we were actually going to talk about. And when you got, I mean, I think we talked for 2 hours. And
yeah,
I sat in the parking lot of a Popeye's Chicken not getting lunch because it was just so exciting. And I didn't want to interrupt you long enough to order food.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that reaction. I get that reaction with the project. And it's funny, Jennifer, because it's like, I've only been in this space for 2 years. And I'm like, well, this is what I want to do. And it just really is like an expression of, okay, these are the things, these are my skills. These are the things that I can do. I was a teacher. I was trained as a journalist. I like photography. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I don't, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there, and you know, I'm not impressed too much about statistics. Yes, they're impressive, and
right.
they move a lot of people. But for me, it's the story about people.
Of course, the humanization
we're about to say the same thing, right?
Yes, it humanizes what is happening, because so many times people are just herded in and out of prison, and they're not seen as human anymore. And especially for people who are nonviolent offenders, I mean, and they have to become violent offenders sometimes in prison because they're put in there with violent people and pushed to the limits and treated like animals. And next door in the next state, you know, people are making millions of dollars doing the exact same thing. And it's maddening to me. You know, just the stories that I hear and the stories that I've read from year 10 are incredible. You know, it's just so discouraging. And you're right, the statistics are impressive, but we just have to chip away at them one person at a time. You know, you never know who the next person that really, you know, gets to hear about what you're doing, wants to jump in, can really have some influence. And so that's why I wanted to kind of come alongside you and let's take you from, you know, one woman show and let's get it on the road. A lot of people that I've talked to in the industry, whether they're white or black or whatever other color they are, they're all moved by what you're doing and get excited. And I think you'll be surprised that I'm getting a little army together.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that's Alabama fantastic. Needs it. Alabama needs it badly. You know, I mean, so many of our customers are on probation.
I think we've talked about how me being in Virginia, you know,
right.
I'm not a native of Virginian, but
right.
I'm, you know, a lot of things that I hear about Alabama and the way cannabis is treated.
Oh yeah.
And whatnot. It reminds me of Virginia, and we're not perfect. We're not nearly perfect, but we are making, you know, strides. And I think,
right.
You all sound like Virginia a few years ago, you know?
Right, right. Well, you know, I'd like for us to be good at something besides football. Cause I don't really care. Roll Tide, whatever. So back to your story, was there a moment or one specific thing that made you decide to create this organization?
So like I had said, I knew that, okay, so here I am, a medical cannabis patient, and it took a little bit of, you know, people confronting me, like, because at a point, okay, so I will say I was on NBC Dateline, right? And
really?
Like I was on national TV for it after I testified in our state house
mm-hmm.
for medical cannabis. But still at that time, I still didn't know anything about the criminalization of it.
Right.
And I was still afraid to even, like, okay, I just don't know anything about that area of it, you know, and it wasn't, you know, willing to look into it at that point. But then, you know, somebody had to confront me and say, oh, isn't that nice? You know, and I thought, oh, I'm happy-go-lucky, you know, cannabis advocate. And,
right.
You know, this is great.
Poor little white lady. I mean, it's true. You know, it's true. I mean, yeah, it probably is hard for you. I know it is for me, you know, to say, I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes, but I have the utmost respect for that kind of fear. Mm-hmm. And I have the utmost care for what it has done to this entire community. And what it has done to your life, your loved one, it matters to me. And I may not look like it matters to me, but it does. It matters to me greatly, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So in a minute when we come back, I want to talk about your proudest and most challenging moments, what's been kind of the best thing, what's been the worst thing, and sort of the message, how it's evolved when we come back from the commercial break. Tamara, tell me once...
Yeah.
Tell me, how long has the organization been in existence? When did you create it?
So we have only been around for 18 months now.
Oh, wow.
6 months of that, yeah.
And you've made so much progress. That's amazing. Yeah. It kind of happens fast, though, in cannabis. When you kind of hit your stride, you better buckle up. That's how it's been for me.
That's fantastic.
Well, and it's a labor of love, I know. I know every time I talk to you, you can hear it in your voice. Let me see. Whitney, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
I can. Hey.
Hi,
I've been looking for you. Whitney, this is Tamara. She's my co-host.
Hi.
And when we come back from the break in just a little while, I will I'll let Whitney ask a couple of questions, too. And we'll all get to know each other. Whitney is my, I don't want to call her a sidekick because that would be dumbing her down, but she is my awesome right-hand man, bestie,
yes,
and has the nicest rear end in cannabis.
Wow, thanks.
And hair, and the nicest hair.
Thanks. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll be back in just a minute with the beautiful Miss Whitney and Miss Tamara.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer, your host here at Sweet Home Cannabama, and we are talking with Tamara Netzel of cruelconsequences.org and my lovely co-host, Whitney, who I made an inappropriate comment about because sometimes I have strokes, mini strokes, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm tired, okay? I'm
it's okay. It's
home
okay.
from Hoover and back in less than a day and a half, so whatever. It's my show, dadgummit. I can say what I want.
Freedom of speech. Right?
Okay, back to the seriousness. Okay, Tamara, what has been your proudest moment and your most challenging?
Yeah, so only being out there a year, you know, there are many proud moments, you know, but I think one dimension would be in December of 2019, not too long ago, right before COVID, you know, our portraits were actually in a very, you know, very serious governmental, you know, meeting with the Virginia Attorney General who he had put on. And it was called the Virginia Cannabis Summit, and it was meant to bring in leaders from other states to educate, you know, legislators about how Virginia is, you know, moving forward in towards legalization. This is our AG, you know, and he organized this. But I was able to have four of our portraits displayed there. I mean, a very serious, like inside, you know, like General Assembly.
Yeah.
Know, very serious meeting. And, you know,
that's amazing.
It was the only art display there. It was the only really display there.
Right. It just, that's amazing to get four portraits in there. Do you size them pretty big so that it's like so each this is the actual size of their face. You can't help but look me in the eyes.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
I was just, do you size the portraits so that their faces are a real size? You know, like this is a person and you have to look at me, you know?
Yeah, they're a good size. I've put a lot of thought into it. They're 16 by 20 portraits. That's
okay.
The best size.
Yeah.
They're, you know, not too big, not too small. But we have two pieces of the project. One is online. We're not just online, but, you know,
right.
We heard the website, cruelconsequences.org.
Mm-hmm.
But we are a physical portrait exhibit. Like you would go to an art gallery
really?
To go see portraits. That's what we are.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can't wait to do this with someone in downtown Mobile. I hope if you're an art gallery owner or an artist who has a gallery downtown, you'll consider doing this with us in the future. I have a photographer in mind, but I'm sure we could use more than one, and I would love to have a place to find our own 10 in Alabama, because I know there's thousands and thousands more than that. But I'd love to find our own 10 and hang our own 10 portraits and let it be an exhibit and let people come in and see it and purchase these if they would like to, because that would be, man, we have a big art community here, and once a month we have Art Walk, and the galleries stay open till 9 o'clock. The restaurants serve food and drinks, and people just park and they walk up and down the main drag and even into our store, even though we don't have art as of yet to show, but they come in and patronize all the businesses on Dauphin Street and the galleries, and it's a really big deal here, and a lot of people come, and it's been a really neat event every month. So hopefully one day we'll be able to have an exhibit in that.
Sounds fantastic. I can't wait.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, how has the message of Cruel Consequences evolved over the first 18 months?
Mm. So it started, you know, I started with four portraits,
mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was, they were all Virginia portraits. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll do this thing for Virginia and this will be a, you know, I'll set them up at this one event, and then, okay, I've done that. But I got such a great response that people were like, you can't stop.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop doing this. You know?
Right. No,
so,
I agree.
Yeah. So now we're up to about 15. And we have, you know, the message has evolved as each of the stories are told.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just a story of Virginia. You know, it started out as Virginia,
right.
But it's this. You know that this is this this advocacy is not a story of Virginia. And as I went to different states and got different state stories, I was like, this is different. This is wow. You know, I mean, in each one
right.
surprises me.
Yeah.
So.
I think Whitney has a question for you.
I do. It's how is this project faring in the recent COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter movement?
So both of those things, you know, you're asking them together, but really, you know, I mean, they affect each other, but this is a one woman show, like Jennifer said, you know, and
yeah.
it's those challenges that this project has been through are also my challenges. As I said, I have multiple sclerosis. I just came back in December when I told you about the cannabis summit. I will say that it was because of friends that was able to happen.
Right.
You know, because I actually was not present at that event. I was in Mexico getting chemotherapy for stem cell transplant to treat my MS.
Wow.
So, and that event was happening while I was doing that. Literally, when I was having chemo pumped through my veins, my portraits are, you know, in this meeting.
Right.
But what was really neat is that I was able to listen. I could watch the whole thing, you
mm-hmm.
know, online from Mexico, and then I also got to FaceTime with the Attorney General while it was happening.
Oh,
right?
Wow, that's cool.
And so, Yeah, it was very cool. We got a picture of it as well. So me getting chemo while I'm talking FaceTiming with the AG.
Wow. Well, you got to do what you got to do, huh?
That's right. That's right. So, but I mean, your question, you know, I mean, it's been the ebb and flow and the response, and you know, you get to a point where you're like, okay. You question, like, am I doing it this the right way, you know? But I adhere to a lot of the things I learned. I will say, I learned being a teacher. I was mm-hmm. a teacher for 16 years, okay? And I take a lot of those things, like one thing that, and it applies to this project. I believe in being a lifelong learner, okay?
Right.
And I'm learning all the time. Like, I don't have this figured out. I don't have, this project is not perfect. It's not, you know, but I'm learning as I go. And as a teacher, if you talk to any teachers, they'll tell you, teacher doesn't know everything.
That's right.
You know, we're that's learning right. with you. Yep. And that's how I treat this project. I'm learning as well.
Right. I tell people that all the time. I don't know that I'll ever stop learning, because people always comment on how much I know about cannabis, about CBD, about different medical conditions and things from all the studying that I've done and learning from my customers. And I know there's this entire mountain of information I haven't even scratched. And, you know, as you know, right now there are different types of products, and they're discovering new cannabinoids and what they're useful for. And the market is moving so fast, and I'm having to learn on my feet while dealing with all the fires I have to put out and seeing my customers every day and managing a business. It's a lot, but the learning never, ever, ever stops. You know, when I'm teaching something, a lot of times I've learned some of it as I was preparing to teach it. So I think anybody who doesn't have that attitude is probably pretty short-sighted.
Yeah, I agree
just learning
with that.
How to be a good human being.
You have to be a lifelong learner. And this,
right.
And in this environment with the Black Lives Matter and the racial injustice movement, and this being a social justice project, you know, even before this upsurge of, you know,
right.
awareness for the racial injustice, we've been talking that beforehand, you know.
Right, right.
And, you know, but I'm still learning. I
right.
don't know it all, and I will never, you know, I don't ever think I'm
well,
gonna,
and
you know.
And you and I are learning from a unique perspective of not being a part of that community. And as much as we love people in that community, and as much as we interact with people in that community, some of the most beautiful people that I know are from that community. But I will never be from that community. Mm-hmm. But that does not dampen the way that we care about it. And I hope that I know it carries from you to what you've told me to what I've learned from you, what I've gleaned from the way you speak about your organization. I know that other people sense that genuineness in you, and I hope that they do in me too, because it's a human thing. You know, I say all the time, you know, our demographic is human, and, you know, there is no other qualifier. Whitney, what do you think?
I totally agree with that. Being of multiracial backgrounds.
Yes.
It's like sometimes you just don't know where or how to be a part of something, and all you can do is be the best human that you can be.
Right.
And do whatever you can to, you know, make that matter worth hearing about.
Right.
And giving your opinion. And it's just some people, it's like, I've had people come in here, and we've had multiple conversations about, you know, we get all walks of life that come into our stores.
Yes.
And it's like to have something that's for everybody.
Right.
There, just like you said, our demographic is human. We have somebody can walk in here, and it's never about a dollar value when they walk into the store. It's always about how we can help them.
Right.
And that's how every situation that we deal with in life should be. It's
right.
like,
yeah, it doesn't matter where they stepped in from. They stepped in, and now we're going to do something about it.
Exactly.
And,
that's how I feel usually about everything.
What they have or don't have, what they look like, where they've been, none of that matters.
Mm-hmm. It's all like our whole thing is about how can we make this person feel better?
Right.
How can we sit there and we recognize what's going wrong with them and try to get them to a place where they feel better about what's going wrong with them, you know, or, you know, try to make what's going wrong right.
Right.
And it should be control. Like that with everything. It's like, especially with, like, I would say, like, the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not about you never feeling like you would be a part of that community. It's like, you know what, how can I do my part in recognizing and
right
just being a part being, of what's going on to make sure that it matters.
Right. That people feel seen. And heard.
Exactly.
And valued.
Right. Exactly. Just sitting there and listening to somebody.
Yeah.
It's the it makes the biggest impact in the world to that person because you took time out of what you could have been doing or what you should have been doing.
Right.
And you're absorbing how they feel. And it's like they're passing it on to you.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? How can I make this, how could not even better, but what can I do my part with this?
Right.
So that's with everything. That's in everything.
So that
in
if
life,
it's bad,
that's how it should
I didn't
be.
Contribute to that. But I did my best to contribute to making things right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I agree with that. That's beautiful. Thank you, Whitney.
I love that. No, I love what she said. And I would, if I may, full consequences, that's what we're about, that conversation. We're trying to bring that conversation, and when we have, so we've been to we bring these portraits into different events that maybe you would never see cannabis or marijuana. Okay, like we've been into college classes, talking to students, and having them look at these portraits and read the stories, and had a lot of positive response. We have been, you know, one event was a Commonwealth's attorney. You know, she was running for a Commonwealth's attorney, and she wanted to talk about cannabis and marijuana in Virginia. But, you know, it's, you know, if she's in the middle of a pizza, you know, she had the event in a pizza place. And it was just interesting because she spoke about cannabis. She spoke about marijuana. And she had the AG there. He spoke about it. But without our portrait being there, none of the other people would have felt comfortable to have a conversation about marijuana. And that's what we were able to do.
I hate to interrupt, but we need to go to a commercial break real quick. But I do want to pick up with this as soon as we come back, and we do have plenty of time. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, and we are talking today with Whitney, my co-host, and Tamara Netzel, the founder and curator of cruelconsequences.org, a social justice organization that does portraits and real live stories of people who have continued to suffer the consequences of being imprisoned and made a felon for marijuana crimes. I think, Whitney, you had one more question for Tamara.
Oh, no, I did my two.
You did one, but I'll take over. Thanks a lot, Whitney. All right, so Tamara, we'll let the professional take over. Why among the few nonprofits in cannabis who are focused on criminal justice should people support your nonprofit? What is different about Cruel Consequences?
Well, what's different about cruelconsequences.org is that we're an organization. I mean, we are a true grassroots organization that is really, I mean, the real stories, and it's, you know, it's about real people's stories. And,
right.
You know, we're different because, okay, there's lots of organizations out there, and I will say, is room for all of them, and there's room for more.
Right.
So we need more people to do things like this, and I welcome it, you know.
Right.
And I'd love to collaborate, but there's, because there's so much work to do in this space.
Oh, yeah.
And in the criminalization. And but why we're different is because we are getting into those events and those places that you wouldn't think cannabis or marijuana would be, you know,
right.
Going to a university sociology class and talking to students, you know, we had an experience in that particular event where there was a student who she later wrote us an essay about her experience, but she told us she walked into that class knowing she had to attend that class and she was dreading it.
Wow.
And because of the topic, she knew the topic ahead of time,
yeah.
But she was dreading it. But by the time she walked out, she told us in her essay that she was completely blown away and completely changed her mind.
Wow.
That's great.
So we're trying to change hearts and minds.
Right.
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 So hearts and minds. And I think, you know, that's the key to this, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't have lawyers or you know, legal in my organization.
Right.
But we're trying to change the bias and the stereotype. And
right.
And that's a piece of it, you know.
Of course.
You can change the laws. You can get people out of prison. But the cruel consequences is based on its cruel consequences, because these are the small little things, and they're not small, really, but they're the lifelong sentences. And when I say lifelong sentence is not always behind bars.
No, it's not being able to vote.
You can never get a job. With you.
Not being able to get a job with good benefits. Not being able to provide for your family. Not being able to have a firearm. You know, for a nonviolent crime that people are, like I said, people in the neighboring states are making millions of dollars at, and owning firearms and voting and providing well for their families by selling cannabis.
Right.
Growing and selling it and having stores like mine that end up being dispensaries in legal states, you know, medical dispensaries, and the dreaded recreational word, which I think is a terrible word to use because it just trivializes cannabis to me. But
Words matter.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately the word that people choose to use. Anything that trivializes it makes me mad, so I don't like it. But
yeah.
It's a very serious thing. It's life and death.
We even, as cannabis consumers, we joke about the stereotypes, right?
Of course.
And I got to be honest, I'm not one to joke about it.
No.
I joke about the stereotypes.
No, I tell people all the time, you know, stop making stoner jokes and stop using certain words and stop posting bleary-eyed jokes about being high, and maybe the lawmakers and the medical community will take us seriously. You know, and a lot of people in certain parts of the cannabis industry sort of make fun of or consider what I have and what I sell and what I do to be less than because it's not high THC. And I got news for them. Come spend one day in my store and you will not be the same. And it is not nothing. It is everything right now. And could we improve on it by adding all parts of the plant? Yes, we could. But we do dadgum good job with what we've got when we know what we're doing and we're educating people. And maybe normalizing hemp and CBD usage will be what paves the way for states like mine that, you know, most people are like, yeah, right, it's never going to happen, even when it's halfway through legislation. You know, it keeps mysteriously getting pushed back and pushed back, you know. Nobody thinks it'll actually happen, but eventually it will. It'll have to happen, especially if it goes federal, because then we'll just be bleeding money in every direction, and that'll get them going. But, you know, I mean, the stereotype, the stigma, the bad information. Even sometimes I find weed people don't know weed, and it's very frustrating.
No.
When you meet a brand owner that goes, what's full spectrum mean? And you want to punch them in the throat and kick them out in the street because get out of my store. If you can't even, as a brand owner and product processor, if you don't know that, get out of my business. Because you're the reason why it's hard. But, you know, I'm like you. I take it very seriously. And I think that this part of it, we had a customer, I think I might have mentioned this before. We had a customer about a week and a half ago, right before I went to Hoover. And he said, man, I didn't know this. I didn't think this place was real. I said, where have you been? He said, well, I just got out of prison. And I said, really, for weed? And he said, yes. And I asked him if he had any priors, and he said no, and that he had been in there for 4 years. And I asked him what he had on him when he got caught, and he said he had personal carry weight and personal use weight, you know, 2 joints and an eighth in his pocket, and went to prison as a felon for 4 years and now is marked for the rest of his life, and he was young. And that's disgusting because we're voting to legalize, and they're not going to let those people out of prison or off probation. And that's another facet of it.
The different parts of the cannabis world, my hope is that it just comes together because we're in these different, you know, boxes. And even within this space, we like to, you know, say that, this, not that, you know, and all this. For me, it's everything. It's everything.
I agree. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time. If you would like to learn more, go to cruelconsequences.org. And they have merchandise you can purchase. You can purchase portraits. You can donate money. And we will be giving out more information very soon about bringing this organization to Alabama. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Whitney. Thank you, Tamara. And we will be back next week with another great show.